Let's jump back in here to Book of Exodus, and we just got into the plagues last week, and we've gotten through the river turning to blood, and we've gotten through frogs, and as we said last week, we're going to continue to kind of go into, it's going to feel a little bit like Groundhog Day here, with some of the things just happening over and over again, that you kind of wonder, why on earth is it that Pharaoh isn't getting a clue? And we've seen all these things start to happen, and we're watching God show his power. We're watching God make it incredibly clear how... It's interesting as we look, as we read through what we're going to read through today and what we've read through in the past, that God continues to say that the Israelites are his people, but he refers to the Egyptians as Pharaoh's people. Yet while he's doing what he does, he's showing Pharaoh and the Egyptians that while the Israelites may be his people, he is sovereign over all people. And he's putting on this, I don't want to call it a display, if you will, but it really kind of is, by continuing to show Pharaoh that when what he says he's going to do, he's going to do. Pharaoh continues to harden his heart and continues to make the wrong decisions. And we just kind of keep this string going for now. So let's jump in, as we do every week here, back to the book of Exodus and chapter 8. We're along about verse 16, and we're going to talk about the gnats. The frogs had just come, and Pharaoh had asked Aaron and Moses to get rid of them, to stop this. And he requested that it happen the next day, and the frogs did die out after they cried to the Lord and prayed to the Lord about the frogs. And it says that, and before we get down there in verse 14, it says, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them as the Lord had said. And so they had to clean up all these dead frogs everywhere. It doesn't paint a good picture. The plague of gnats is a very quick account here from verse 16 down to 19. So let's read through that quickly here. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth. And there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. So the focus on this is really multi-focus here. One, this has got to be horrible. When you have two or three gnats, you know, in a house, you chase them forever, trying to just get rid of them because they annoy me to death if I see one. I'm constantly going.
They're right on your screen. Right on your screen.
All the time, yeah. Yep, if there's one in the house, it's like, there you go. I told, who did I tell you, Jesse, the other day? I said, they see you coming. And what they do is they move at the last second when you do this, and then they ride the air current from the clap, and they get a boost, like a jet propeller, right on the way from you.
And they laugh the whole way.
They do.
I think they call it man surfing or something.
Is it
their activity.
Well, I'm glad to know that you speak that.
I'm still learning. I'm not fluent.
Okay. Right. But imagine this scenario. These gnats are everywhere. They're on man. They're on beast. They are everywhere. And they literally come from the dust of the earth. But what is wonderful about this, it happens in verse 18, is he calls on the magicians to say, all right, now you do this. and they just can't do it. They cannot do it. So, you know, up until this point, they've been able to duplicate things. They've been able to not reverse what God has done. So God continues to progressively show his power over not just his people, but also over Pharaoh and also over the magicians. And he's, you wonder why there has to be so many plagues, so many rounds, so many things to go through. One thing's for sure, as we watch this unfold, we should start to see, and we will, that Pharaoh is, in his selfishness, starting to harm his own people as well. His own people are going to start to suffer for his decisions to not let the Israelites go. And every time a plague comes upon him, he just asks, please get rid of this. And I want us to put ourselves in this situation for how we live each and every day of our lives. We get ourselves in a situation where there's trouble to face, there's whatever the problems might be that we're dealing with. And sometimes all we want is just for the Lord to take it away and get rid of it. What we don't want to do oftentimes, though, is listen to whatever the Lord might be calling us to do. Are we called to go in a certain direction? Are we called to serve? Are we called to witness? Are we called to change our lives up and start making different decisions about where we spend our time, how we minister to our own families and our children? What do we do in our church life? It's important to look at this because God continues to call Pharaoh to do a very, what it's big to him, he's getting rid of his entire workforce. But it's a simple decision. All he has to do is say yes. It's simply God asking him, just say yes. Just do what I ask you. And every time the plague comes and he shows his power, he says, please get rid of this. Please get rid of this. All right, thank you for getting rid of that. And no, I'm not going to say yes. It's a battle that we all go through. Scott's back there dying over something.
Those, how many times in our own lives have we been in that situation? Just say yes and
it's a, I like that. That's great. Not like pigs, they know.
We're studying Jonah on Wednesday nights, and I mean, you're going to go to Nineveh, and you're going to preach to these people. No, I ain't.
No,
I'm going as far in the other direction as I can possibly get. I'm going to do what I want to do. Put my foot down.
Yeah.
I'm going.
You go by boat or by whale.
Yeah.
You just
said, "Same adventure. We're going to go."
Organic or wood?
Do you still have that cartoon hanging up in your office, and that says, "There's a guy reading a book."
Yeah.
On the cover of a book, it says, "How to Run from God," and at the bottom it says, "By Jonah." And there's a guy looking at it, and he did. There's a bubble above his head, and he goes, "It just says don't." Yeah, it's not a good idea. So now the magicians have come around, and even his magicians are telling him, this is the finger of God. This is something we don't understand, and we can't handle this. And he's not listening. Pharaoh is not listening to anybody. And really, you know, this is really a quick encapsulation of the gnats. But in doing so, it brings out the magicians not being able to reproduce this as really a key point here, and allows us to move into from gnats to flies. I don't know which one's worse.
It made him really miss the frogs, though.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know, King James says that it wasn't gnats; it was lice, which I mean would be similar. But when I think of lice, I think of that totally different than gnats.
I have to agree with you. Yeah.
And lice, I feel, are just creeping all over you.
You got that issue. You got to worry about lice. Got the system beat. Suckers.
I'm sorry.
I'm caffeinated. My brain's sharp. I'm ready.
You must be. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I was actually, I will usually try to do a parallel and see what the King James says along with this, and look for those differences. I did not do a parallel on this, on these passages. And so it does say lice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really, yikes. Yeah, because it's not just head lice.
No.
Yeah, there's other types. So, or maybe it's the same type, I don't know, but nonetheless. But I was reading Wiersbe's commentary on this, and he painted this picture of, he still used the term gnats, but he said, imagine these gnats were everywhere. They were crawling all over everyone, everything, getting in every crack, every crevice. They were everywhere. And he says, you have just imagine essentially being painted by them. And that's the picture. And so when you go to lice, it's a similar, you know, this is not a good thing.
You're lucky Brad's not here.
Yeah.
You keep saying imagine. He would have said imagine that.
Really?
You want to, I mean, you keep saying it.
You wanted to say it.
I did. Right. I was fighting it, but he kept saying, imagine.
You get into your.
He had to take this
back.
Jamie, you're welcome. I didn't mean that. I just had to get off my chest. So. So let's talk about the flies now. It says that the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus, I will put a division between my people and your people. Note the distinction there. Tomorrow, this sign shall happen. So the warning's been given. He's driven this wedge between them that he's making very clear in his message. It says, and the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses throughout all the land of Egypt. The land was ruined by the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God within the land. But Moses said, it would not be right to do so, for the offerings we shall sacrifice to the Lord our God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he tells us. So Pharaoh is giving them, he's starting to give a little bit, at least it seems like he is. But there are things that the Egyptians worship that the Israelites would sacrifice as part of their worship. And so Moses is smart enough to know here that if they do their sacrifice within the confines of Egypt, that the Egyptians are trying to look at them as harming things or sacrificing things that they worship. And in turn, they will wind up perhaps stoning or attacking and causing more problems. And so there's a bigger point to that, right? God has said, travel 3 days into the wilderness and then sacrifice to me and worship. Don't do it where you are. So even though Pharaoh may have said, well, go ahead and do this here. That's not what the Lord has commanded. The Lord has commanded that we need to go.
There's a, In our study with Jonah, you know that I can't think of his name right now, but the gentleman who's, you know, on the videos, he's like, you know, wasn't there an easier way to do this? God could have just brought up a prophet there in Nineveh to do this, and Jonah could have just, you know, but he's like, no, God loved Jonah. And God wanted it to be Jonah who did this. And I think there's so many other ways God could have done this. I mean, he could have just struck Pharaoh dead, you know, and the next person up, you know, would have been like, I just saw him die. I'm going to die. Let him go. But apparently there's a lesson that he wanted to teach Egypt, and he wanted to teach the Israelites, which they didn't get. But
no, and just as important that he wanted to teach us. You know, it's I look at scripture and I say so many times the lesson on the surface is only part of it, right? Because why preserve this all these years for us if it's not intended for us as well? And there's so much in here. There's a warning here as we watch Pharaoh. Don't harden your heart. Don't allow yourselves to get into the position that Pharaoh's in. Don't keep saying no to the point where you become callous. And so after, as we look at this, after Moses has said no, that we need to do what God tells us, in verse 28, Pharaoh says, okay, he says, I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord in the wilderness, only you must not go far away. You can go, but don't go too far. And he says, plead for me. Then Moses says, behold, I am going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained, but Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also and did not let the people go. So it continues. Now things are getting serious, as if they weren't already. In chapter 9, it's time for the livestock to die. And this is huge. So let's just read through this because we do have time. In chapter 9 says, and the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing, and the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He did not let the people go. So all God says, I'm going to do this. And then God does it. And then he even sends somebody out to the Israelites to check and see if their livestock is alive or dead. They come back and say, nope, their livestock is fine. And he says, you know what? I'm still not going to let them go. That's really dumb. Yeah, that is absolutely dumb. You know, because at this point, yeah, I would be thinking, even before now, I'd be thinking, but yeah. But there's a lesson in all this. Do you wonder how many of the Egyptians are seeing this and watching it and coming to a realization of the power of the one true God? How many of the Egyptians might be witnessing what's taking place, especially those in Pharaoh's inner circle, and thinking maybe we shouldn't be worshiping a stick or whatever it might be that they're, you know, because they have, what, 50 different gods? maybe we have a problem here.
We had mentioned a few lessons ago that this was all done to show the power of God, and not just to Pharaoh, not just to the Israelites, but the Egyptians are going to start seeing it
too. They're going to start seeing it too. And yes, God is delivering his chosen people, but through all of this, he's sending a message to every person. He's sending a very powerful message to every single person. boils. This is also handled rather quickly. Says the sixth plague, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. So now we have a physical manifestation that is coming on man and beast. Question, the livestock all died. Where the beasts coming from? How do they have beasts again?
I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
I wanted that as you go along, because they killed all the livestock, but then when they get to past the boils, it's one of the other ones. Oh, the locusts.
Oh, yeah.
Popping in the locusts about how all these beasts died.
Well, we don't have a time frame between this, right? We really have no idea how much time. As we read it, we kind of get this impression that it's happening, bam, bam, bam. But we don't really know that. And so it's conceivable, and I don't know if there's any study notes anywhere that you all have it that shed a more light on this, but it's conceivable that they could have gotten them from other nations. They did have neighbors. It's conceivable they could have gone and taken them from the slaves, because if the Israelites' livestock was fine, the slaves don't have a whole lot of power to keep you from coming in and taking things away from them. Once that livestock crosses from the Israelite field to the Egyptian field and becomes ownership of the Egyptians, it's fair game. Yeah, that's the right term, isn't it? Fair game. So you can see how it's conceivable that they would have been able to get some back. I would love to have a time frame on this to see how much time this took. And I don't know if there's any reference as to this, the length of the entire process anywhere. I'm not familiar with one if there is. But that was the first thing popped into my mind was, wait a minute, all the livestock died. Where did it, how did this happen?
I know this is grasping at straws here, but I mean, it does, livestock is not necessarily, all beasts are not livestock. I don't know.
That's true.
You try and go hunt, I guess we need the gator out of the Nile or something. Oh, now they're covered in boils. I don't know, it's just grasping at straws.
No, that's another potential. The reason I bring it up is because this is another one of those times when folks will try to point out that, oh, look, the Bible contradicts itself. There's no evidence of that here.
Chapter 9, verse 3 lists out exactly what had died, or at least was sick written. And that was the cattle, the horses, the asses, the camels, the oxen, the sheep. That was all attacked. And then instead of listing them all out again, it just says beast. Good point here.
Yeah. Jamie, you gotta write that down. Yeah. Now, imagine that. Let's not get into the plague of hail. We will, however, handle hail and locusts, and we might get into darkness next week, but certainly we'll save the Passover for one class all in and of itself. But we're slowly getting through all the plagues, and we'll continue to do so, and then we'll do a quick review once we get through all the plagues about certain points through all of them, some things that we want to look at all together that happened through that. And so we'll stop there for today and pick up next week on hail.
Christ.
Let's see where it leads us. Any comments, questions, criticisms, or other things?
Well, you got to look at me and Jamie. Just put, I'll put it in the suggestion box.
Because I can't see Mary behind Dave, I guess that's what it is. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and close out. I want to pick on somebody here that's not picking on, it's asking for help to close. I don't want to use the term picking on. Jesse, will you close for us?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for this day and for bringing us all here this morning. We pray that we have a great sermon and that there was a message well, and pray you keep us safe as we go to our houses afterwards. Pray we do things that are pleasing to you and you forgive us for we failed you. Pray well on the prayer list and all those that you've mentioned, and just pray you just keep us all safe.
Amen. Amen.